Well, I'm speaking on the Holy Spirit tonight. Very exciting. We have a Monday afternoon club for kids called Deeper on a Monday, and it was really great this Monday. I'm getting really excited about Christmas already. I don't know if you are. I'm trying to refrain from singing carols around the house because Claire doesn't like that. I don't know why. So I'm refraining. I've been told I can start singing when it's December. But that's just difficult. It's difficult. Anyway, the thing is that it's around this time of year that I like to ask the children, what do they want for Christmas? What have they asked for Christmas? On their list, and I asked this question at Deeper, and one child said, I've asked for a sewing machine. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And I think one of them, the other one wanted like some kind of electronical device. And the other child in this conversation said, well, I'm getting a hug from Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, I know. I thought that was brilliant. Someone who gets the Trinity. It's amazing. Anyway, that was cool. I'm speaking on the Holy Spirit tonight, and I'm going to be speaking from John 14, 15 to 21. It says this. It says Jesus speaking. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, and I actually have been reading a book. I've also put a PowerPoint together. I hope you're impressed. Well, that's very exciting. I've been reading God Inside Out by Simon Ponsonby, and I think it'd be cool to look at this book a little bit more, maybe in the new year. But he's kind of done a really brilliant, in-depth theological study on the Holy Spirit, and he rightly says that, you know, good theology informs our worship, and so hopefully getting a clearer understanding of who God is, and in this case, who the Holy Spirit is. I guess really, he says right theology kind of goes into right worship, and kind of the other way around as well. And so we're going to just spend a little time tonight just thinking about the basics, if you can call them the basics, because the Holy Spirit is this kind of difficult subject in theology. He starts off by saying that, next slide please, there are some 300 references to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament alone. And this dude here says that he's the most elusive and difficult of all themes in Christian theology. So it's okay. I don't think I'm going to add much tonight, but it's a huge topic. And Ponsonby goes on to say that kind of the Holy Spirit is a little bit like the Cinderella of theology. He's the one that kind of is in the basement while the two sisters, if you like, are getting, you know, they're well known, but that almost, he almost gets forgotten, and in kind of history, as the church tried to straighten up its theology, what it believed about the Trinity, about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit almost was forgotten about. Almost there wasn't much written about him. And he goes on to talk about the Council of Nicaea, when the creeds of what we believe were written, and what was first written you had about the Holy Spirit was simply this: I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, I guess, seems to be shrouded in mystery, and it was difficult to put into words who he was, what he was like, what he was like. And then later on in the creed, they kind of added this to give us a little bit more to chew on, to think about, that he is the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. So that kind of gives us a bit more understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. He is the Lord. He is God. He is part of the Trinity. He is the giver of life. That he's in relationship with the Father and the Son. And he is to be worshipped and glorified. And he speaks and has spoken through the prophets. I guess in a way, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we've done a little bit about thinking about the Trinity last term. In terms of thinking about the Holy Spirit, we're quite blessed. I guess we've been a part of a church and part of a stream like called New Wine, and where actually there is a real emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I know I've been blessed to sort of grow up in an environment where it was usual to see the Holy Spirit doing things when we gather, which has not always been the case across the church. So in many ways, we're really blessed. And particularly in this last century, there's been amazing moves of God in the church, where there's been a real emphasis on the Spirit and him moving in our lives. I just wonder if you could just take a moment. I'm sure many of us could think of times when we've had an experience of the Spirit. Maybe it's just that you've had a word that perhaps has been given to you by someone, or maybe in your mind you've felt God speak to you through his Holy Spirit, or when you've been reading your Bible, you've suddenly had this inspiration, or something's leapt out of the page to you, and I guess we would say that's the Spirit moving. A lot of us in this room have been lucky enough to be a part of Boulder Gang. And I was thinking, you know, so often on those weeks, there would be such a sense of the Spirit, God at work, as one of the dudes in this book puts it. That's God at work, the Holy Spirit. I was trying to think while we were worshipping of one particular time, and at Boulder Gang, where we just felt like we encountered the Spirit of God together. And I can remember one time, I always like when we were at Boulder Gang to set myself a risk. I would call it a risk night. And that is when I would get a speaker that was a little bit risky. And this one particular year, there was a young girl who had been a part of the team for a little while, and there was a sense that God was on her life. She was about 18, and I'd never heard her speak But I just thought, you know what, this year I'm going to give her a go, because I felt that maybe what God was saying, and I just saw something on her life, and she spoke, and it definitely wasn't the most polished talk I've ever heard, particularly for children. But my goodness, when she got up on that platform, did it feel like the Spirit of God was in that room. It just felt like the whole room was electric. And it was so exciting, and clearly God was doing stuff all over the room with these 10 and 11-year-olds. You know, you could see them often just totally lost in the presence of God. And wow, it's mystical. We don't totally understand, but there is something of God's presence, the Holy Spirit. And we are so blessed to have many of us grown up in that environment. And so in our church and stream of church, there has been a real emphasis on testimony. And this tells us something theological about the Holy Spirit, just to kick us off, really. And the emphasis on testimony itself is theological. It points to a profound truth about the Spirit, and that he is always the God who encounters us. It tells us something about his nature, is that he is a hands-on, personal God. So I just want to talk about two aspects of the Holy Spirit. And this, I guess, comes out of two traps that we often fall into. And when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit. And the first major trap is to think that the Holy Spirit is not God, like a lesser being, a powerful being, but not divine. And then the other trap is to think that he is not personal, but he is both those things. And the first thing we're going to look at is the Spirit's divinity. The Holy Spirit is the third person within the one God. That is what we believe as Christians. The Holy Spirit is God. He is divine. And we get that from numerous scriptures. I've pulled out two here. And the first one is Genesis 1:1-2. And that's the creation story. And we see God right at the beginning. It says that he created the heavens and the earth. And it says the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. We see right at the beginning that the Spirit is labeled as God. He is God, the Spirit. A little seasonal one for you is Luke 1:35. I said I was getting excited about Christmas. We see when Mary is visited by the angel and told that she is going to bear a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. Again, we see that the Holy Spirit is again labeled as God. It says this in Luke 1:35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Again, it's that scripture that is reinforcing the Spirit's Godhead, that he is the third person of the Trinity. And as we again look at the different scriptures, we find out that he is eternal, that he always has been and always will be. that he is everywhere, that as we worship tonight, we could sense the Spirit's presence with us. But as they're worshiping right now in Brazil, Sunday morning, it should be over there, I'm sure, or something like that. Maybe afternoon, I don't know. That same Holy Spirit, as they worship, he's there present with them. He has that God quality of being everywhere. He knows everything. He is all-knowing. Paul in Corinthians talks about the Spirit being the mind of God. And he can also be grieved and sinned against. All of these things are God qualities and lead us to the conclusion that the Spirit is God and he is part of the triune God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all share equal divinity. They are God. He is the Holy Spirit, God at work. He is instrumental in every part of the work of God, of God's story. It's fascinating. I was reading this book, and I might preach on it later on in the new year, but it talks about how the Spirit was vital and present at every part of Jesus's ministry, right from his birth. When he was in the desert, when he was at the cross, and in his resurrection and in his ascension, the Spirit of God is so fully a part of the ministry and life of Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person within the one God. So the first trap is to think that the Spirit is not God. And I don't think really in the Anglican church we fall much into that trap. But often I think we sometimes fall into the second, and that is the personality, that the Spirit has a personality. He's not a force. Like Star Wars, is not like the force of Christianity, that if we want to see miracles and get goosebumps, we say the name Holy Spirit and cool stuff happens. But that actually, he's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he is in relationship with you and I. It's so often easy to fall in that trap when I guess we have these experiences of these feelings and a sense of emotion or power when we talk about the Holy Spirit. But he isn't just a force, but he is a person. And we, again, there are scriptures that confirm this. The one that I read to you, John 14, I guess, shows Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit and that he will send another counselor, someone like himself, to be with us. Someone who can hear what you're saying and understand. That's what a counselor does. Someone who knows and hears what you're going through and who can give advice. It's the personality of the Spirit. He is also known as the Comforter. Someone who comforts, who knows how to be with us and bring us comfort when we are going through the trials and the difficulties of life. It's clear from the scripture that the Spirit hears. That when we speak, that when we pray, He hears us. It's clear from the scriptures that he doesn't just hear, but he speaks. That he can speak into our lives. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is the most encouraging person. I don't know if you've ever had a prophetic word that's just encouraged you. And you just know there's this sense of the Spirit speaking. We know from the scriptures that he teaches, that he guides and gives direction both to the church corporately and to us individually. We know from reading the scriptures that he helps and intercedes for us. And we also know that he feels, that he can be grieved, that there is a part of him that grieves. And this, for me, brings a whole nother level when I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to know that we've got God's power and presence with us right here, right now. But there, when you look at those scriptures, there is a real tenderness and beauty to the Holy Spirit. He's someone that we can be friends with, someone we can interact with when you're driving to work in the morning, when you're in the middle of a stressful day. We don't just have a force with us. We have a person, a sovereign God with us. And that's the beautiful thing about spending time thinking about who is the Holy Spirit. He is God right here, right now. He is God at work, and he's personal. And he speaks, and he comforts, and he guides. What an amazing thing that is. In fact, it's super amazing. Because in the Old Testament, there was this expectation that one day the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. In the Old Testament, we see the Spirit of God resting on individuals like kings and prophets. But we never see him upon all of the people. But what was the Old Testament expectation is the New Testament realization. And that is, now we are part of this amazing thing where the Spirit of God is being poured out on all flesh. We are part of the most incredible time. Bishop Stephen Neal says this: the Spirit in the New Testament is not found anywhere outside the realm of direct and personal encounter with the risen Christ. Oh, how glorious it is that we should be born in such a time as this, when God is so powerfully present amongst us through his Spirit. Abraham, the great giants of the faith, saw by faith this time we were looking at, and they longed for it. What a day, what an amazing time we live in this New Testament era, in this new covenant, where we have the living Spirit of God dwelling in our midst. So just to finish, how does knowing this affect your Monday morning? How does thinking about whether the Holy Spirit is God or not, or whether he is personal or not, how does that affect our everyday? How does it affect our worship, our walk, and our work? Well, it affects our worship because we realize that he is eternal, personal. That he, just like the Nicene Creed says, that he is to be worshipped and glorified. You can worship the Holy Spirit. You can glorify him in your day. He is to be, along with the Father and the Son, worshipped and glorified. As you go about your day and you recognize his presence, be in awe of that presence. Be in awe of his work in your life. He is sovereign Lord. He is God. He is eternal. He is able to see and to save. He has a mind so he can comprehend what you are going through. He understands you. He understands your situation and has wisdom and peace. He is in relationship with you. He is God, outgoing, outreaching, outstretching his arms of love to you. And hopefully that makes a difference to your Monday morning. Simon Ponsonby finishes this chapter by saying this: the Spirit is not a vague, distant, abstract, incommunicable force field, but a divine Lord and personal lover. He's Lord over every situation, and he's personally involved, full of love, full of peace, full of grace. So shall we just stand together?